presenting Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves.
CX-4 calling control tower, CX-4 calling control tower, standing by.
Control tower, back to CX-4, wind southeast, ceiling 1,200, all clear.
Okay, this is Hop Harrigan, coming in. Yes, it's America's ace of the airwaves. Coming in for another transcribed episode in the adventures of Hop Harrigan.
Say, gang, we have a guest with us this afternoon whose rather special abilities are closely related to Hop's and Tank's present adventure. He's Gene Wyckoff, a former chimes master at Cornell University. Mr. Wyckoff, would you tell us something about the chimes at Cornell?
Well, Glenn, the Cornell chime is a set of 18 bells secured in the top of the university library tower. These bells are musically tuned to cover a range of an octave and a half of black and white notes on a piano.
And is the Cornell chime played like a piano?
Well, yes and no. You see, the bells themselves are fixed. They don't move. But steel clappers inside each bell are fastened by means of chains to a long keyboard some 20 feet below the bells. Each key to which the chain is fastened resembles a wheelbarrow handle and must be forced down with some pressure to ring the bell.
Well, that sounds like work.
Oh, it is, but it's a good deal of fun, too, especially during songs where the chimes master wants to play three bells at once for a musical chord. Then he must leap into the air and come down on the keyboard with one hand on each key and his knee striking down a third. 3 10-minute recitals are played on the Cornell chime every school day, and because of their music, anyone who's ever been on the Cornell campus will never forget the chimes.
Gang, Mr. Wyckoff, in addition to being able to play the chimes, is also able to pilot a plane. So he will tell us about student flying at Cornell in a few minutes. Don't forget to listen. And now to our story. Delayed by a violent tropical storm and then a forced landing on the desolate Pacific coastline of Peru, Hop, Tank, and John Temple fell far behind in their pursuit of Carlos Mendez. And as we continue now, they are roaring southeastward through a morning sky, skimming the mountain peaks of Bolivia, crowding all possible speed out of their twin-engine B-26 bomber.
I think we can make Mendez Ranch without refueling, Hop?
Oh, yes, easily. And to be on the safe side, I got some spare gas drums at La Paz.
Then when will we reach Cañada Verde?
Tank, where are we now?
Just past a town called San Lucas. Got about another 700 miles to go.
Then we'll be another 2.5, maybe 3 hours at the most.
That'll make it noon.
Uh-huh.
Mendez must have landed before dawn. He'll have had 6 hours to get rid of the bell.
And Gale. Oh, I don't know, Tank. After all, he didn't take her with him for nothing.
Yeah, but he ain't the kind of a guy to kid around either. Remember what he did to those poor guys from the trucking company? I'm awful worried.
However, 700 miles to the southeast, at Mendez Ranch at Cañada Verde, Gale seems to be quite safe, for the moment. But she's nearly frantic with worry over young Christopher Cross, who, trying to help Gale, hid under the bell when it was loaded aboard the plane, and is now in imminent danger of being found. A large crane has been moved into position by the open cargo doors of the Fairchild, and the bell is about to be lifted out. As his men prepare to begin operations, Mendez stands by Gale.
In a few moments now, we will be ready, Miss Nolan.
Ready for what?
To reveal the secret of the bell. You are interested, are you not?
Oh, yes, very.
Miss Nolan, what is wrong?
Wrong?
You are very pale. You seem agitated. What is it?
Nothing.
Oh, come now, tell me. I am not blind.
Oh, it's the trip, I guess. I'm awfully tired.
Of course. As soon as the bell is removed from the plane, I shall take you to the house. A room is being prepared for you now.
Thank you.
Mendez!
Yes, Fogo!
We are headed.
Good. Then proceed.
Attention!
Chris!
What
come
was
in,
that?
I didn't say anything.
I'm sorry, I thought you
come
spoke
in,
to me.
No.
Miss Nolan, there is something wrong. Are you ill?
No. No, please leave me alone.
Very well.
Slowly. Slowly.
Be careful, Vogel.
Do not worry. Everything is all right. Now, stop.
There, you see, Miss Nolan, the bell has been removed from the airplane.
Yes. Yes, I see.
Gale stares wide-eyed at the massive bell, now suspended in midair, swaying almost imperceptibly at the end of the crane. But where is Chris? Then, in a flash, she remembers. He must be hanging onto the tongue of the bell, and should anyone look under the edge, he will be discovered.
Mendes?
Yes?
You wish to examine the bell out here?
No, have it taken into the barn.
Very well. Start the engine of the tractor.
What are you going to do now, Senor Mendes?
Reveal the secret, as I told you, Miss Nolan.
But how?
Come into the barn with us and you shall see. Oh. Or would you rather go to your room and rest?
Oh, no, no.
Do I assure you feel well enough? I am quite concerned about you, Miss Nolan.
It's nothing, really. After all, you've been telling me so much about the secret. You don't think I could rest till I find out what it was.
Of course. Come this way.
Men are walking pretty close to the bell, aren't they?
What of it?
Well, if that chain should break, it might fall on me.
Do not worry. The chain will not break.
Do all of your men know the secret of the bell?
Hardly. Vogel and I are the only ones in the world who know the value of the Lakeville bell.
They've reached the barn.
Yes, only a few minutes now. Vogel!
Yeah?
Are the torches in the barn?
Yeah.
Let us go into the barn, Miss Nolan.
Do you think I should?
Why not?
Vogel is watching me. I don't think he likes the idea.
Do not pay any attention to him. Hurry up, Vogel!
I am working as fast as possible.
Sit here, Miss Nolan.
Thank you.
Vogel, tell the men to wait outside and then close the door.
Where are the doors? Enseguida.
We are ready, Vogel.
I'm ready. Are you?
Yes, of course. Get the torch.
What about her?
What about her?
She is not staying here.
Vogel, Miss Nolan is my guest. You will treat her as such.
Mendes, for the last time.
Yes, Vogel, for the last time. I am giving the orders, Miss Nolan, stay.
I will not have it.
So? Then, my dear Vogel, if the circumstances are not to your liking, you have only to leave the barn.
Leave? Now?
This moment.
After all I have done? You cannot cheat me out of my share?
I have no intention of cheating you, Vogel, as long as you obey my orders. Now, have I made your position clear?
You cannot do this to me.
Vogel, think for a moment. You are here on my ranch, surrounded by my men. One word from me and... need I say more?
No. I understand perfectly.
I thought so. Now shall we proceed?
As you wish.
Then get the torch.
Very well.
What are you going to do, Senor Mendes?
Cut into the bell with a settle and torches.
Cut into it?
Yes. Oh, come now, Miss Nolan. Surely you must have realized by now that there is something of great value within the bell.
Yes, there certainly is.
I beg your pardon. You know?
Well, I know because of what you told me.
But...
Mendes, I have the torch.
Proceed then, Vogel.
Any special place?
It makes no difference. Hurry, I am anxious to see it.
Very well. Stand back.
Over here, Miss Nolan. All right, Vogel. Now watch, Miss Nolan. Watch.
His voice sinking to a sharp whisper, Mendes stares at the spluttering glare of the acetylene torch as Vogel, leaning close to the bell, begins to cut into the hard metal casing. In a moment, the secret of the Lakeville bell will be revealed. But what of Chris inside? Gang, you won't want to miss the gripping climax of today's episode, so stand by. Gang, our guest today is Mr. Gene Wyckoff, a former chimes master at Cornell University at Ithaca, New York. Mr. Wyckoff has told us about how the bells are played. Now, I wonder if he'd tell us how you learn to play them.
Well, it's something like the way you learn to fly. A chimes student learns control of the keys and practices with the bells disconnected from the keyboard. Then, when the fatal day comes, he solos, for better or for worse.
And speaking of soloing, please tell us something about flying at Cornell.
Well, Glenn, the university doesn't have a flying school of its own, but that didn't stop about 60 students from getting together and forming the Cornell Pilots Club, whose members took flying lessons down at the Ithaca Municipal Airport in the valley at the southern end of Lake Cayuga. The manager there, Mr. Pete, is an old-time pilot who operates on one main rule, use your head. And by putting the students on their own, wise guy flying, buzzing the university, and scaring the chimes player in the top of the Cornell Tower is kept at a minimum.
And did you get your private pilot's license while at Cornell?
Why, yes, I did. And although I didn't find time to attend all the pilots' club meetings, I often worked out with them, flying in spot landing contests, precision maneuvers, and cub hikes, where we'd fly south to Binghamton early in the morning, have a special breakfast, and fly back to the campus just in time to miss the first class. Flying has proven tops up at Cornell, both as a practical and entertaining hobby.
And as technical development continues, as private planes become safer and cheaper, More and more such flying clubs will spring up all over the country, encouraging all of us to remember that America needs flyers. And now back to our story. It is nearly noon, and flying with throttle wide open, Hop, Tank, and John Temple are nearing Cañada Verde. The young pilot drops the nose of his ship and dives down to an altitude of 500 feet as Tank checks the terrain below against his charts.
We ought to be crossing the Salad River pretty soon.
The what river?
That's what it says.
Let's see, Tank.
Here.
That's the Salado River, Tank.
Oh, how far is the river from Mendez Ranch? Looks like it runs alongside the eastern edge of the ranch.
Good. Watch for it.
That ranch is awful big. Almost 10 miles across.
We'll look for his house as soon as we cross the river.
Supposing he sees us.
Well, he'll have to see us, Tank. You can't sneak up on him in this plane.
Well, once we find a place, why don't we just keep going, then land a couple of miles away and walk back?
No, that would take too much time. Besides, he'll know something's up the minute we fly over the ranch. They don't see U.S. Army planes around here every day.
And we land in his front yard right out in the open?
I think that's best. Don't you, Hop?
Yes, he won't have too much time to think up an alibi if we can work fast enough.
Hey, there's the river.
Okay, fellas. On your toes.
Closing in on their target, Hop, Tank, and John Temple peer ahead through the windshield, watching for the first glimpse of the Mendez Ranch house. Meanwhile, several miles ahead, the Mendez Ranch is quiet and peaceful. It is the hour of the midday siesta. No one is to be seen. Suddenly, the rear door of the house opens, and Gail Nolan appears. Looking around cautiously for a second, she darts across the yard to the barn, and after fumbling with the catch, finally opens the door and makes her way into the gloomy interior. She rushes over to the bell and calls out.
Chris? Chris, can you hear me? Chris? Oh, good heavens.
Receiving no answer, she turns from the bell uncertainly. Suddenly, she spots the acetylene torch used by Vogel earlier that morning to cut into the bell. Pouncing on it, she fumbles with it.
Lord, I hope I can make this thing work. It's the only way I can get him out.
Finally, after agonizing seconds of struggling with it, turning knobs and switches, the torch sparks into life.
Oh, at last!
Leaning close, she applies the blue-green flame to the metal casing of the bell, trying to cut through it. But as the roaring hiss dims in her ears, she does not hear the door to the barn open. It's Vogel. He glares at her for a moment, then walks over to her slowly and stops immediately behind him.
So, Miss Nolan, it is as I thought. You have tricked Mendez, but you will not trick me.
No. Put down that gun.
I told him time and time again, but he would not listen. So I will give him proof. The torch, the bell, and your dead body.
No.
Her eyes wide with fear, Gail steps back, against the bell. She cannot move another step. Slowly, Vogel lifts his ugly black revolver. Gang, be sure to listen to our next episode as the mystery of the bell reaches a thrilling climax. Tune in and fly with Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves. So long, Hop. We'll be seeing you same time, same mutual station. Hop Harrigan is a transcribed, copyrighted feature appearing in All American Comics magazine.